You're listening to the Family Discipleship Podcast, a podcast of training the church.
This is Adam Griffin, and I'm here with my two fabulous co-hosts. First, the lady who survived high school without Instagram, Mrs. Cassie Bryant. How are you doing today, Cassie?
Or Facebook.
Or Facebook, or any of it. Yeah, no TikToks.
No. Snapchat?
Snapchats?
Nope.
Out of here.
AOL Messenger, though.
Hey,
what was your... What was your user handle?
I don't even remember, actually.
Oh. That can't be true.
No, really, I don't.
But it's
don't
okay. Remember. You don't have to share it.
Yeah. I bet it was something feisty. I bet it was crazy.
I think I have access to what it
was. You have access to AOL Instant Messenger on your phone?
Yeah, there's this app. No.
Don't you text?
No.
She's still IMing.
She's like, Eric, I'll IM me when I'm on my way home.
I IM'd you guys before I came.
Oh, my goodness.
What if I thought text was that?
Of course, Cassie and I are here with the woman who would definitely be in my top eight spaces on MySpace.
Yeah.
Mrs. Chelsea Griffin. How are you today, Chelsea?
I'm doing good. I don't even really get that reference. I was never on MySpace.
You were never on MySpace?
What about Zanga?
I was about to bring up Zanga. I was never on Zanga either.
Oh, man. Kazoo, did you ever download music?
That was Kazaa.
Kazaa, that's what I meant.
Kazaa, Napster, mp3panda.com.
That was Chelsea's Russian mp3 downloader. None of these websites should be searched for. In fact, right off the top, Bears, let me give you a warning. First of all, we're joking about some stuff. Yep. We are going to talk about some very serious stuff. There are some serious ramifications of social media. It has not gone well for teenagers right now in this generation. There's a lot of difficult things. So we are going to try to keep it lighthearted, but just kind of a warning off the top that if you're listening with a kid, we're going to talk about some of the difficult things that have come as a result of kids interacting on social media with one another, and certainly with just having unbridled access to things on the internet. And that can be really difficult, really ugly. So just a warning, if you're ready for it, we're ready for it. We were prayed about this episode like we do every episode before we get started. And I'm just praying that we're helpful people. I'm praying as a dad who's making decisions, you know, in the years ahead and daily. Chelsea and I are talking through this kind of stuff. And certainly as a pastor, thinking about the ramifications of these things for our culture. But I hope this episode is super helpful for you. Before we jump in, ladies, let me read you a review from a recent podcast listener review posting.
Hard turn. I thought we were about to dig in and it's like,
oh, sorry.
Well, maybe it's a negative review.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Yeah. We did get about a negative review. Media? You want to hear our negative review recently?
Sure.
It's titled Small Minded.
And oh, wow.
The review is one word, boring.
Oh.
One star.
But not really one word because the title is Small Minded.
That's true. They put more work into the title. Small Minded. Boring, one star.
I did that.
You know what? That's awesome.
What if it was one of our guests?
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
I really hope not.
I think I'm sure someone stumbled upon it and then was like super bummed to find out we believe the Bible's true.
Well, it couldn't be a little more obvious calling it the Family Discipleship
That's
Podcast.
True. It's pretty explicit.
Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
we didn't hide it, but I'm just saying, yes, small-minded is an insult that you get sometimes when you say you still believe the Bible.
I know it, which is crazy to me. It's, it kind of reveals the small-mindedness of the... I don't want to give them a negative review. I'm sorry. I will
unfortunately go to bed thinking about how I wish I knew this person. I could prove to them that I'm not small-minded or boring.
Oh.
You know?
Oh.
I know.
First of all, you're definitely not boring.
I'll just turn on Gilmore Girls. It'll be fine.
Yeah, Gilmore Girls is your coping mechanism.
I could see how someone would think that I'm small-minded and boring, and that's fine.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Apt review. Thank you.
Thank you,
one star.
I'll take it. I receive it.
It keeps us low.
keeps us humble. I'd like to be humble. I don't want to be low.
Like, keep me low, Lord.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. All right. All right. Well, guys, the topic we've got tonight is a big one.
Wait.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Were you not going to read a positive
now
one?
You want me to offset that with a positive review?
Well, now
we need it.
Okay. That was very Gilmore Girls of you guys.
All Never right. seen that either.
This one is titled Life-Changing. Listen to this. I've been so blessed by this podcast. It's put words to things I felt and given wisdom to areas I haven't even considered. I'm very inspired by Chelsea, Adam, and Cassie. Listen to this, Cassie. Chelsea is basically my hero mom.
Isn't
that awesome? Me too. And it says, Adam's little nuggets of wisdom he throws in on what feels like a whim have deeply ministered to me and impacted my relationship with my kids. Thank you, FDP. You have blessed my family. I have tears nearly every episode and have told all my friends. That is so kind. Thank you.
Especially
on the heels of a small-minded boring.
I will sleep tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, that was abundantly kind.
Oh,
so kind.
That was over the top.
Yeah. I've never had anything I've said be described as nuggets of wisdom.
On a whim.
Yeah. On a whim. Just whimming.
I wish I was wise on a whim.
Yeah. I'm a good whimmer. Here we go. All right. So can I get to the topic now? Are we all right?
Yeah, we're ready.
All right, great. And here's a medium level review that we've also received. All right. So this topic was actually in front of the Senate recently. I mean, this is like really serious. Like America's looking at this. In preparation for this episode, I read a Surgeon General's warning about how social media affects mental health for youth. We're talking about the secular government of America saying there's an issue here.
Yeah.
And kind of think about that dovetailing here with our topic, which is how do we disciple our kids? How do we lead them to follow Jesus? And our nation is saying, well, let's think about whether or not our kids should have access to social media. And there's a bit of an accountability argument right now around whether or not those who run social media are responsible for the way this tool has been used in kids' lives to make things more difficult or to end some lives. There's been just awful results of some of these things. But basically, the question I want to help us answer is, what are we going to do about our kids on social media? That's the question they have right now in the public sphere. Cassie, why is this all over the news right now? Why is this an important question?
I mean, it's like an epidemic. We're seeing kids' lives lost over it. And mental health is, at an all-time low. Our kids are struggling with anxiety and depression and all sorts of things. I mean, their brains are developing and then they're spending hours on these apps. I mean, the statistics around it, I couldn't recall like specific ones, but I know that it's a lot of their waking hours they're spending on social media apps. It's crazy to me, like watching TikTok or, I mean, even adults are spending 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
But then you've got kids spending like 6 to 8 hours.
Huge percentage of their life.
Crazy.
On social media. And the question is like, is there, not only is that a waste of their time, is that helping them at all? Or is there a ton of harm being done?
You don't have to love
what
God
they're exposing
to see
themselves to,
that it's bad.
Yeah, it's having bad. A negative impact. Chelsea, help us think about, just for a second, to clarify, what is the difference between social media and why that might be, that's our topic, social media, why that might be something to have a conversation around. And then just the general access to the internet for a kid. Help us differentiate. There's social media. There's also just like websites.
Sure. I think they both have dangers, right? There's a possibility for harm if a kid just has general access to the internet. The obvious things we think of are pornography, images that shouldn't be viewed by anyone, things
violence.
Like that. Yeah, violence.
Yeah, even worldviews, even access to like the way these people think think about the comment sections on a news article full of vitriol.
Yeah, yeah. Or like cult activity that's like conspiracy theories, whatever, stuff like that. But then there's
fake news.
There's the general access that I think it shouldn't be compared to social media, where social media, what we see is like, so is being so harmful to young people, especially, but even to adults, is that we treat social media kind of like a mirror, letting it tell us something about us, right? And so there's tons of data out there about the correlation between social media use and anxiety and depression, suicidal thoughts. So whether it's negative feedback about the way somebody looks, comparison that goes on when we see what other people are doing, what other people have, how other people look, these are the struggles that not just teenagers are reporting, adults as well. But yeah, social media is affecting people in those ways. The fear of missing out, feeling lonely, feeling isolated, feeling just some really self-deprecating thoughts. Whereas general access to the internet, there can be a benefit there, right? Just to learn or to read about, an event that happened or, just general information where you're going, like if I look up who won the golf tournament this week, that is not going to make me feel terrible about myself. It's not going to hurl insults at me. It's literally just, information that I'm interested in. So not everything on the internet is just out there to get us.
Yeah, I think one of the ironic things that you're touching on there is if the vision and mission of a lot of social media is human connection, there's something ironic in that it's causing an epidemic of loneliness. Mm. And a sin that we don't often talk about, but it is one of the 10, is coveting. Mm-hmm. And coveting is all over social media, basically getting a kind of voyeuristic look into someone else's life, be it a celebrity or somebody you know personally, and saying, I want what they have, or I feel terrible that I don't have it. Whether that's the way they look or the things they possess or their, you know, it just.
Because we don't use it in an authentic way, where it's like it would create authentic connection if we were using it in an authentic way. But why would you bother? And it would even seem inappropriate to post certain things about your life, right? Like if you posted about your family's dysfunction, like if your whole extended family, you know, fights and has really messed up forms of communication, a lot of hurt, a lot of abuse, sharing that on social media would be kind of bizarre or inappropriate, or it could be shaming, could be hurtful.
Totally.
So then in a moment where your whole family is together and you're at the beach and you take a nice picture, you post it. And when you do post it, it's not the poster's fault that someone else might look at that family photo and say, other families have it all.
Right.
Right. That's a lie that we fabricate. We're filling in the blanks with telling ourselves something that other people aren't saying, or, you know, maybe some people are trying to convey like an image of perfection, but it's on us to think thoughts that are true and to take thoughts captive. But
yeah, I may be a little bit skewed on this. I'm trying to remember exactly what it is, but I believe this is accurate, that when Twitter started, which is now X, that Twitter's vision was this kind of mini blogging site where you would post the really inane parts of your day and just small parts. I'm going to the mall right now. I'm going to go grill some burgers. You're posting very small things, and it's laughable now because if you look at Twitter, it's nothing but like sound bites. It's it's small quotes. It's I don't have an attention span for something longer, and it's a lot of anger and venom at people who disagree with you. And it's not that. And it's another example of something that somebody created something with this vision where like, oh, this will help people connect. This will keep it from becoming this other thing. But humanity takes any even innocuous tool, anything that's amoral, like there's not a right or like there's nothing inherently evil about Facebook. But we can take it and twist it and turn it into something that we have to question whether or not we should still have it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's part of the question is, you know, at what age do you trust somebody with this? And can they wield what these things are doing? I can remember when I was growing up, they canceled Joe Camel. You guys remember this?
Oh, that, yeah.
Like, yeah. They had Joe Camel was a cartoony advertising tool for cigarettes. And they're like, why do we have a cartoon? We're going to advertise to kids for cigarettes. And so they said, no more. You're not allowed to have a cartoon advertise cigarettes. And it was kind of like,
because we're too weak. If we see a camel, if we see that cartoon camel, we're all going to go light one up, dude.
Yeah. It's like, oh, if I see a cartoon camel, all I want to do is smoke.
Yeah.
And I'm not smart enough to get around that. And it feels almost insulting, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, as a society, we bear out the truth of those statements to go, if we market these things to kids or we give access to kids, not that we could say that adults are handling these things much better, but certainly where we can control something, shouldn't we limit? Now, that's helpful to get us started there, Chelsea, this difference between social media and internet. And there's dangers in both. But can we say, are there any benefits to social media? Maybe start with for anyone.
Yeah.
And then maybe do you see any benefit for kids?
Yeah, I think there can be a benefit. Again, if it's used well and if we're grounded in who we are in Christ, think about how social media could be a way to share God's word. That can be a way to encourage. It can give you an avenue. I've thought many times about like people that I've kind of lost touch with, but then I'm aware of something difficult in their life because of social media. So I wouldn't see them every day, but you know, now I know that they're going through a hard time and I can do something to help. I can do something to encourage. There's been a lot of moments where we can give to something that we wouldn't otherwise know about. So it feels like it kind of extends your reach.
Right.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah, I've connected even recently, right? In the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
A young man who I hadn't seen in 20 years that I used to have a relationship with as his Young Life leader reached out. He was in a terrible situation. One of our Compassion kids found us on social media. Now we have like a relationship after he graduated from Compassion, we're able to keep up with them.
Yeah.
And we have other things like that, that if not for some platform then we might not know or not be able to connect. And it gives us a public communication venue by which you can also kind of keep up with the Griffins. How are their kids? Even if we haven't seen each other in a really long time. And
It's an opportunity to carry out relationship and friendship, to be kind, to be loving. All those opportunities are there. It's just, you know, whether or not we choose that. Yeah.
It is a place of promotion. I'll tell you that. Like, there's almost nothing. If you've ever seen the movie, The Social Network.
Oh, man.
One of the things they say in that movie is if you're getting something for free, it's because you are the product, right? Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's classic that I always hear people remember from that one is there's two industries in which people are described as users. The drug industry, or I don't know if you'd call it an industry, drug dealers call people users, and then social media, you call them users, and there's something related there, you know, that there's you are what they're selling.
Yeah.
You are the product they're selling. And Instagram is, you know, it's promotion. That's what it is. Yeah. And churches use it to promote their upcoming events. Authors use it to promote their upcoming books.
We use it.
Yeah, people promote it to, the Family Discipleship podcast has social
media.
We
haven't even mentioned comedy. I like a funny little video.
Memes?
Those two dogs that talk about football.
Oh, you do love that.
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, what would we do without YouTube videos? One of the women who works for us at Eastside today, she's younger, and we discovered she'd never heard of Chris Farley. And so we were like, oh, that's a crime.
You educated her.
So yeah, we sure looked up some Chris Farley videos and we watched them together.
Were they appropriate?
Yeah, Matt Foley.
Okay. Sometimes I think of something as being so funny, and then you look it back up and you're like,
before Jesus, that was hilarious.
Not exactly.
Yeah.
That's great. Cassie, help us walk through now this part. This answer is probably pretty easy for us, but what are some of the potential harms that can happen by having kids on social media? What can go wrong?
Well, let's start with what maybe seems more benign rather than go to the extremes, because I think we can mention those here in a minute. But I think if you're handing, especially if we're talking about kids and teenagers, we're handing them a device and giving them access to something while their brains are developing at rapid rates. And something that we talk a lot about at our school is the transcendentals, the truth, goodness, and beauty. And that we are, as those who are seeking to follow God, we are seeking to do what is good, to know what is true, and discern what is beautiful. And how the social media apps, I think, are constantly trying to tell us what is true, what we should do, or what is good, and then what is beautiful.
Yeah.
And so it's going to start shaping and just like we've talked about, like someone's going to disciple your kids. And so disproportionately so, I think that it can start to break down your kids' understandings of those three things: how to discern what is beautiful, how to know what is true, how to do what is good. And so I think that that is some of the benign things, is that it just might be more subtle, some of the detrimental things, than you would even know. And I would just be cautious to how it creeps in, if it's at the dinner table, if they're in their beds at night on their phones. Like, even if they're not struggling with anxiety yet, if they're not, you know, exhibiting really disturbing behaviors, just to not assume that that means it's not discipling them in an error, you know, or creating false narratives for them.
I love that.
Yeah.
Those are great points.
The other potential harm, obviously, is external, like predators, like external.
Yeah, it's an avenue by which a predator can find access to a kid.
Yeah,
they can be targeted, be victimized. It's addictive. We talked about, like, there's this attention economy now. And so it's created to be addictive. Like, they want you on it all the time.
Yeah.
And then they'll even create the algorithm to then feed you what you want to, what they think you want to see. So I've even seen, like, a mom who's, I think on social media, I saw a mom who gave their kid social media, but beforehand they logged in and they watched a bunch of like cat videos or animal, like to try and create an algorithm that would be safe and benign and cute for their kid.
Yeah.
So that even, you know, just speaks to like that addictive nature to it. We would never give them access to other things that would be addictive. So it's so interesting that we would do that. But suicide, obviously, that's one of the big things of why it's in the headlines right now. Eating disorders, bullying. There's been some studies, and I think they've talked about this on the Raising Girls and Boys podcast, about how used to we could go home from middle school,
right?
And we were done.
And you were leaving school.
And now all of the social stuff is still happening, and it's all happening online. And what's hard is you can have a kid that's not on, but then they're missing out.
Right.
And they can still be victimized just because All it takes is a friend taking a picture of your kid, and then they post it and embarrass them, even though your kid's not even on the platform. Like, we've had that happen in our church.
Yeah.
And then the mom's like, well, I had to get the app because I wanted to see what it was that when she went to school the next day, everyone was talking about her, you know?
That's awful.
It's awful. Yeah. It's so bad. Yeah.
Chelsea, any thoughts? Same question. What the potential harm of social media?
Yeah. I can't spout off the statistics, but I think most of us have at least been exposed to some of the numbers that are out there that just express how much this is affecting particularly our teenage girls when it comes to body image, disordered eating, anxiety, depression, loneliness, isolation. If it was meant for human connection, it is very highly correlated with kids feeling like they are excluded, like they don't have friends.
Yeah.
Sometimes I joke, you know, Facebook is just a way to find out what you didn't get invited to. And as an adult, I think it can be easy to see that and like carry on, you know, especially
off your back.
Yeah, because we have more realistic expectations. Our kids, their brains are not developed. Remember that the emotional center in their brain, the limbic center, is blowing and going. That thing works. The judgment center is not fully developed. So when we have big emotions and poor judgment, putting something in the hands of our kids that is a nonstop feed, that unless they put it down, there is no end to it.
Right.
Like how there's an end to a school day, right? It's just like, that's enough. Okay, we're all going home. But when it comes to social media, it's designed so that you just keep on scrolling, keep taking in more of this content. And we know that it is harming our kids.
Right.
Or we have really good reason to believe that it is.
Right. If you took the name social media out of it and you just said, hey, what if I told you your kid is doing something 2 to 3 hours a day that might impact them negatively right now and for the rest of their life? It is an avenue or a window to sin. And it might also be a way by which somebody who wants to take advantage of them is going to. You go, well, whatever they're doing for 2 hours a day, let's do something else. Find something else. I'd eliminate it from their life.
Yeah.
But you go, but what if taking away would make them feel really, you know, left out? You go, left out of what?
Yeah, left out of suicidal thoughts and depression.
Yeah. I'd take that trade off.
Yeah.
I go, that's going to be, I get it. That's a hard battle. But I can relate. Like if I have like nightmare scenarios in my head. If young Adam Griffin had had access to social media. If I had in high school the ability to slander, the ability to gossip, the ability to say whatever I wanted about people we went to school with to my buddies, the ability to have pictures of the girls I went to school with wearing their swimsuits, wearing their, you know, skimpy whatever, or add to that celebrities or whoever, and I could follow them and have a voyeuristic view into their life.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be somebody I know. Oh my goodness. It would have been a black hole. I don't know that little Adam Griffin would ever come out of.
Yeah.
It definitely would have had a lasting impact on my ability to say, I have honored the Lord with my eyes, with my time, with my mind. I don't know. I don't know how to like navigate that. Say, have unbridled access to that. And we'll just help you navigate. We'll just, it's, I don't know.
Yeah. That's the argument I hear from parents a lot is that it's part of our world. So we have to give it to them so we can teach them how to use it. But again, I think we have to just be really careful with that because that judgment center is undeveloped and because there's a lot of time where are we actually helping them navigate it? Or are we just giving it to them, kind of literally leaving them to their own devices?
Yeah. The seeking of approval, you know, we haven't even talked about, there's a lot of research about the dopamine hit you get from somebody liking something you post and the negative feeling you get from the comparatively low likes or retweets or snaps or whatever you're trying to seek and get. I don't even know how these things work.
Yeah, like if somebody calls your podcast boring.
That's fairly small-minded.
No, yeah.
Hey, listeners, we live in a world where anxiety, depression, and weariness seem to be the basic descriptors of our lives. For many of us, our calendars and our plates are overfull, yet our lives still lack joy. But it doesn't have to be this way. Jesus invites you to have true and abundant joy that's only found in Him. In John 15, Jesus reveals three very surprising pathways to finding this type of joy. You can discover these pathways in the new book, Overflowing Joy, by author and Bible teacher Tara Dew. This is available at lifeway.com, and you can save 40% off with the code JOY40. Again, that's J-O-Y, the number 4, the number 0, at lifeway.com. The new book is Overflowing Joy by Tara Dew. Check it out. Listeners, we've got a new ad from one of our favorite sponsors, my friend Claire. Shout out to you over at Sky Ranch Camps. Sky Ranch has an exciting new offer to share with you. Now, we at the Family Discipleship Podcast, we love summer camp. We believe it can be an incredible discipleship milestone for your family, for your child. Whether your child is 6 or 16, they're going to have the best week ever getting outside, unplugging from technology, being surrounded by mentor-minded counselors that are crazy intentional about their safety, of course, but also their fun and spiritual growth. So we're grateful to partner with Sky Ranch in offering your child $200 off their first week of overnight camp. Just use the code SKYFAMILY, S-K-Y, FAMILY, when you register at skyranch.org. You're going to see a clear difference at Sky Ranch. Their programs are crazy fun with a powerful purpose. So if you haven't figured out what your kid's doing this summer, or if you haven't ever checked out the ministry of Sky Ranch, go to skyranch.org today. Again, $200 off with the code SKYFAMILY. Cassie, help us think about it in the Bryant home. Have you guys started making decisions about social media for your family or the families you guys lead at church? Are you guys...
I mean, the decision for our home right now is no. Maven doesn't have a smartphone yet or anything like that, so... We have like a Gab watch for when we need her to be able to answer the phone or for us to call if they're home alone or anything like that. For the church, I mean, our youth group talks about it. They talk about social media. Whenever they come to church, they check in their phones. They don't have their phones with them, you know.
Oh, but don't some of them just take a phone from the kitchen drawer and turn that one in and keep the real one in their pocket?
Oh, I don't know.
That's what kids at the school in our neighborhood do.
Oh, really? Oh, like mm-hmm. at school.
But yeah. They're supposed to put in that yonder pouch or whatever, but they just take an old iPhone from the junk drawer in the kitchen and that's what they turn in. And then they all have their real phone in their pocket.
Oh, man. I can tell you as a teacher, when I was a teacher, and this is now, how long ago, babe? 10 years ago? Things have changed a lot in that time. But even then, these kids were so addicted to their phones.
Mm. Yeah.
Could not make it through class. If I had to take up a phone, they could not make it.
Yeah.
I'm like, how could you be so into what's on your phone that you cannot sit and focus now?
It's so bad. I mean, think about the distraction and their inability to have their attention spans, right? You know?
Yeah. Have that gloss
and then
over
we want them to be able to sit for a 40-minute sermon or...
Yeah.
And
this is not to rag on any parents, but parents who would tell me they need it so they can call them when they pick them up. I know there's a lot of alternatives now. You just brought up the watch, but I made it all the way through high school and college with no cell phone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in college. It wasn't that they didn't even exist. It
was Adam's like, old.
I'm super old.
I had a cell phone in high school.
AT&T went down. We all went without it last Thursday.
I was on call at the hospital and they couldn't call they had no way to call me in. Isn't that awesome?
Isn't that awesome? There is some lady trying to have a baby. Didn't think it was awesome.
We'll talk a lot about like it's a tool. And so anything else, and we have talked about this at church, we talk about it in our home, like the greatest commandment, love God, love your neighbor. And so if this is a tool, how do we use it to love God and to love our neighbor?
Right.
And if I'm not using it for that, then I need to just evaluate where it is just become entertainment, distraction.
Right.
Even those things seem benign. I'm not looking at anything bad, but it draws me away from where I should be present.
Yeah, it can still be numbing.
Yeah.
It's a drug, you know?
And so I think that if there's a way to use it, like what you were saying, to serve others, to love God, to make much of him, to learn about God, like there's some encouraging people to follow, all of those things. I mean, if you follow us, hopefully we're an encouraging thing. We're helping you love God and love others. Yeah. So it feels like a necessary evil, but that's for adults. I still could not think of a good reason why kids should be on it.
Totally.
There are a couple different websites. There's one called Better Screen Time, and they have a tool. It's a responsibility. It's like a worksheet that you look at that says, am I ready for a personal device? Is my teen ready? So you have the teen fill out one half and then the parent fill out the other half, talking about like, how are they on the responsibility spectrum of with doing their own homework, their chores, like, and I think I imagine social media is going to change a ton in the next 6 years. If I had to guess, just how much it's changed. So we probably won't be having these conversations in 3 or 4 years, but I'd like to see that, you know, our daughters could drive a motor vehicle and make responsible choices with that before I probably put them on a social media app.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the truth is, like, our kids are at an age right now, our kids are not demanding this. They're not begging for this. No. I have the privilege right now of being able to speak to this as a dad whose oldest kid is 12. I don't know what it's like to have a 17-year-old who's desperate for this. I can tell you, in the last episode, I talked about a young man who moved in with us for a while who was oppositional and defiant. At the time, there weren't nearly as many social media options as there are now. But when we took away his social media, it was like I cut his hand off. Wow. He lost it. He could not handle it.
It's withdrawal.
And some of it is withdrawal. Oh, yeah. It's like I took him out of his world. And I get how difficult it is as a parent to make these kind of decisions. But I think that's why I lean into the scripture, Matthew 5:29. Jesus says, you take sin so seriously, if your right eye caused you to sin, you tear it out and throw it away. It's better to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell, is the way Christ would describe it. If your hand causes you to sin, you chop it off. I think that applies so easily to all these innocuous, all these amoral things. If it's a TV, if it's a song, if it's a smartphone, if it's social media, if it's causing me to sin, I want it out of my life. And if I see sin in my child's heart that is manifested through or cultivated in something like this, then I'm going to say, no, we're not going to have it. And even in my life, Chelsea and I have set up different social media rules for me over the last year. I don't scroll anymore. Like, I don't even have access to social media if I wanted it. Like, Chelsea has it on her phone for me. So if I want to post something, I grab her phone, post it, but I don't scroll anything. I don't have an algorithm anymore. I'm just done. And it's a big part of it is like, I have so much of my life back. I did scroll a ton, and a lot of it was like watching NFL memes, or I was really careful about my algorithm, following a lot of our local churches and seeing what they were doing. And I miss that. I miss seeing what friends in high school are up to and friends from college are up to. I don't see that anymore, but I don't miss how much time was wasted scrolling on things. And if it causes somebody to sin, I'm going to say there's no question here. God's been clear here. Let's throw it out. Chelsea, any scriptures come to mind for you when we talk about social media?
Of course.
Come on.
The scripture lady. Well, the scriptures speak to everything.
That's right.
This verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he's talking about sexual immorality, but I think this verse, we can still take it and really receive it as it relates to a lot of things, although sexual immorality is part of social media in a sense. But anyhow, the verse says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything.
Yeah.
And so that really speaks to the addictive nature of social media. It is content that is designed to never, ever satisfy you. It is meant to just keep sucking you in more and more, take more of your time. There are TikTok, Instagram, they don't have hopes for you to set it down. They want you all in. And so while, like we said, social media is not inherently evil, is this permissible for me or lawful for me? Yeah, we have freedom to engage. But where we're being dominated by something, where we're being enslaved to something, that doesn't sound like freedom, does it?
No.
No, that doesn't sound like joy. That doesn't sound like God's design for us. He designed us to enjoy him and to know him. So if we're being dominated by something not godly, then I think we need to really, really, really consider fleeing from that thing.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I love that. I don't want to be dominated by anything.
Me neither.
Yeah. Okay. I want to, in an effort to be helpful here, while we are not experts, I want to read through 6 recommendations to parents from the Denison Forum and see what you guys think of this. The Denison Forum has these posted online. Here's what they recommend. 1, draw boundaries and keep them rock solid. So where are our boundaries? 2, educate your kids on the inherent risks, pornography, and stranger danger. 3, allow them freedom in proportion to their trustworthiness. That's some of what you were talking about, Cassie. Kind of what's the limit? 4, give them a safe space to talk about things that make them uncomfortable, which is something we come back to again and again on this podcast, is how do I foster a safe space so that if they see something that they know they shouldn't have or something that is, somebody reaches out to them that makes them uncomfortable, or do they feel safe to come and tell me about it? Number five, be a loving ear for their woes and keep up a healthy dialogue about their relationship with social media. So you kind of, maybe that's kind of the checking in on their mental health and how they're feeling. And number six, carefully consider at what age to allow them to enter certain sites, if ever. So Cassie, anything on that list stick out to you? Anything that you feel like we could add, take away from?
I think the allowing them freedom in proportion to their trustworthiness. And I mean, I know we kind of already talked about it, but if you already don't trust your kids with other privileges or other responsibilities, then I think it's just kind of giving this the weight
yeah.
that you would with others.
Well, I think that's part of the problem here is that a lot of parents don't look at this as something weighty or important to consider. Right. They're just like, oh, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on the parents going like, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram. You don't realize how different it is for a young mind, and you don't realize how their impulse control yeah. is so different, and their algorithm could become something very dark or very damaging very mm-hmm. quickly. And that will get fed.
Yeah.
If they have a slight appetite for it, they will pursue it. Chelsea, I don't know if you probably remember this. It feels like a couple of years ago now. I said, hey, there's something. It was when Reels first came out on Instagram. And I didn't know what Reels were. But all of a sudden, I'm scrolling on my Instagram. That's almost all like following churches and whatever. And there'd be like some lady dancing or something. And mm-hmm. I handed my phone to Chelsea. I'm like, will you take a look at this and tell me what's going on? And it's not that I ever looked at anything. It's like, I think Reels had just come out.
Yeah.
And they know, here's the videos that are doing well. Or here's the Reels yeah. that
trending.
Are. Yeah, I'm a 40-something-year-old man. So it's not like I had, it's looking for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to say I'm giving access to my kids, oh, I'm sure it's just their buddies. It's just their friends. Well, that's not all it is. Right. It's not just texting their buddies. If they wanted to text their buddies, maybe that's a whole nother conversation. You're talking about giving them access to the internet, to the World Wide Web yeah. and their community.
Right.
And celebrities and worldview changes and all those kind of things. And so my favorite part of the Denison's recommendations is the last two words in number six, which is if ever. Like, don't feel like you have to give your kid access, and don't feel like you have to leave it with them if you change your mind. But I do think this is a weightier thing than most parents are thinking about. If it came to pornography, we'd take it really seriously. We go, I no porn, right? We wouldn't let them watch that. If it was NC-17 violence, you might go like, oh, we're definitely not going to watch that. But that's the kind of stuff that yeah. is available
if it was heroin,
on social media.
We'd say, guys, we're not going to do any heroin in our house, right? Highly addictive, very harmful, could cost you your life.
Yeah.
But then we have, like I said, I hear a lot of different arguments of like why we basically have to. But you're right. There's a freedom that we need to encourage parents to walk in of like, there isn't something that you have to do. And increasingly so, as Christians, we need to have the courage to be comfortable with being really bizarre, if that's what Christ calls us to. Right. If it's for his sake, if it's for his glory, we need to be really comfortable with being different.
And I love the part where it says, be a loving ear for their woes, because the woes might be that you don't let them on social media. And that's making them feel other than at school. And if you get impatient with them struggling with that, and then you kind of give in because you're tired of hearing about think like being mindful of like, let them come to you and have an answer, have reasons. And then maybe think of ways you can help them connect outside of social media. So get creative. Like, you know what? What if we host five of your friends every Thursday after school? Or what if we do a movie night? Like, create some safe space that's a lot of fun in your home. It shows them that interpersonal connection is actually better.
Yeah, and preparing for this, I was looking up just some of the things about how social media is affecting young people. And it said, you know, a lot of things we expect and that we've already talked about. But one thing it said was that a lot of adolescents find in-person communication uncomfortable.
Eye contact.
And find it intimidating, especially like to speak with adults or things like that. So finding ways for our kids to connect. And like we talked about, you know, an iPhone with all the access to everything is not the only kind of communication device. And
that's right.
And so to give your kid a phone and say, if you want to connect, instead of scrolling like a kind of like a spectator or a voyeur, pick up the phone and call your friend. Talk.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You know, talk with your friends and or meet up, plan something, and encourage that kind of friendship and connection in their life without the scrolling.
Some other things not on this list. I would hope that a lot of the parents listening can cultivate a trustworthy relationship with their kid that is in such a healthy place that it would not be contentious to say, I want to share passwords. I want to have passwords to anything that you have access to. I want you to know that I can go in there and see what you see. And not because I'm your enemy, but because I am for you. I want to serve you. I want you to have nothing to hide. I want you to have, you know, the boldness of a lion, you know, because I'm with you and let's do this right. There are also great technology options out there to be able to track what somebody who you give access to the internet is looking at, to be able to report back to you to say, even screenshots. There's filters that will send you a screenshot of what somebody looked at if the technology deems it to be inappropriate. So it's not just what they're searching for. It can be just what pops up on their phone. Yeah. If it was a friend or if it was a text, you know, it can send you these kind of things. And, you know, we've talked to a couple of these agencies, maybe even about doing episodes with us before, and we might come back to that again at some point. But I'm grateful for the people that are doing work on technology to try to protect kids from not only from accessing things, but from people out there who want to access kids, to protect our kids from them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of predatory behavior out there, and it's not always what you're thinking of, a sexual predator, a kidnapper, or a rapist. Some of the predatory behavior is sponsors, is commercials, is products, and they know that what will get your kid to look at their product is something sensual or something violent or something inappropriate. And so I want none of that for them. I'm really sick of the, you know, there's a popular sportscaster right now who has a show on ESPN that cusses up a storm. And they say this is the way real people talk. And I think that kind of assumption that like real people are okay with sin, real people are okay with vulgarity, drives me up a wall. Because I feel like a real person.
You are.
And I'm not okay with vulgarity.
I can affirm your realness.
I am real, right?
Yeah, okay, you're real.
Good.
There's a lot of real people.
Yeah. It's a wide assumption to say because me and my friends talk like this, right, then everybody talks like this. And that's what is in the social media waters right now, is like, well, kids this age, this is what they do. Well, they don't have to.
Right.
And, oh, well, kids this age, their parents don't have their passwords anymore. Well, right, they can. You know, I hope I have a good enough relationship with my kids that when they're adults, there's nothing to hide from one another. That we'd be able to say, yeah, pick up my phone. And I'm not worried about you unlocking it and seeing what's in there, what I texted somebody or what I said. And, you know, Chelsea and I have that kind of relationship. There's no worry in me if she grabs my phone to use it that I'm like, oh, no, what if she sees my email or my text or my social media or anything? And I want that. But that's the kind of boldness that comes with righteousness. And our kids, we need to be those people who guard and protect their righteousness and train them for it.
Yeah.
Now, the day may come where Chelsea and I are making decisions that are different than today, but obviously with a 12-year-old, no social media is an easy decision for us to make.
Yeah.
And that might sound really easy to a lot of you, but I'll tell you, there's other technology decisions made by families with kids the same age. And we are going to look weird and weirder and weirder.
And
we're going to stand by it. And I hope there's going to be a lot of families that join us in that. And if, you know, one day our kid has a Facebook or an Instagram, we'll handle that when we handle that, the way we're going to handle that. It'll always be something that we want to honor the Lord, not because everyone else is doing it, not because we feel like they'll be left out. I'm actually really okay if we end up with a very Noah-like family where it's like, man, we could be the last family on earth following God, and I'm going to be all right.
Hopefully.
And if you start to see me building a boat in the backyard, y'all just get buy an umbrella, all right?
Hopefully, if we're in the local church, we're doing this in community.
Amen.
Yeah, like, that's right. Well, I was going to say, there's like, tons of families that are making very similar choices to us. Not that I'm not saying everything we choose is the right choice, but I'm saying there's a lot of families who are kind of saying, let's do this together. Let's try to be wise and be faithful and make these choices carefully. There's tons of families doing that. A lot of them are just not on social media to post about it.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Well,
or don't have a podcast.
They say, but all my friends, you can say, well, not all your friends.
Yeah. Not the Brian's kids. Not,
Yeah. We're just going to spend more time together as all their friends. Yeah.
Amen. That's a blessing of the church.
Yeah.
You know, do this that's together, right, guys. And just walk in wisdom, parents. There's a lot of helpful stuff out there, a lot of difficult decisions to make. We are not trying to judge anybody harshly whose kids are on social media. I do hope you're taking it very seriously if your kids are on there, though, just knowing that even our secular government right now is saying, is that a good idea? state by state and national level. They're saying, man, this is not going well. So let's take it seriously as we disciple our kids, and let's lead our families to follow Jesus no matter what. Thanks for listening, friends. If you think it's as important as we do to disciple our families, please help us out by giving us a great review wherever you listen to podcasts. Visit one of our sponsors and share this episode with one of your friends. If you want to keep up with us or join the conversation, you can actually follow us on social media, the Family Discipleship Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. We love you, listeners, and we will see you next week.